Today's gospel is from the 13th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you who do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And this is what I say to you all, keep awake. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a look at that mural for a moment, if you would. And maybe you can even see the part you painted. I forgot what I painted at this time, but it sure looks great altogether. And, it reminds me of a story of a Christian servant in the middle of the 19th century who was spending a hotel in Norway. And this little girl was annoyingly playing a piano, just like clink, 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 plunk, plink, plunk, and it was driving him nuts. And then this man came up and sat on the bench next to this little girl and began making the plink, plank, plunk, plink, plink into something beautiful. And come to find out, this girl's father was Prince Igor, who composed the opera Prince Igor. It's Alexander Borodin, who's a famous composer. And he took this little girl's just kind of tries and made it into something absolutely stunningly beautiful. And I think that's what we can see there. It was just a lot of people putting a few brush strokes on there, and then some artists that came and touched it up at the end. But it turned out so beautifully because it's the work of many. And again, thank you for all those who helped transform this room for Christmas. Our themes for Advent are these four words that you see on the mural. The word hope, which is kind of in the middle left-hand side. The word peace, which is across from it on the right-hand side. The word joy on the top left or right left corner, and the word love in the right. Today we're going to reflect on the word hope, and that we are hopeful as believers in Christ. A man went to a Little League baseball game, and he went up to one of the little boys sitting in the dugout and asked, "So what's the score?" And the little boy said, "Well, it's 18-0. And the man said, "Well, that must be discouraging." And he says, "I'm not discouraged. We haven't even got up to bat yet." That's hope. That's hope. It can keep us optimistic in hard times. G.K. Chesterton said, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it's not a virtue at all." As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is a mere flattery or platitude. But when everything is hopeless, that is when hope becomes strength. The kind of hope we're talking about today is the hope that gives us strength in the hardest and toughest of times. a large school system in a large city had a program to help kids who had to leave school for one reason or for another, even if they were hospitalized or something, and tutors were sent in to these kids that were in the hospital. So the woman signed up to be the tutor and goes to the hospital room and sees this boy who has been severely burned. His entire body is covered with scabs and sores, and it's amazing that this little boy is alive. And she walks in a little flustered, but she said, "Hi, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, and I'm here sent to you from the school to teach you about our lesson that we're working on, learning the difference between nouns and adverbs." And then she left. And she didn't feel like she really accomplished much of anything. But the next time she went in, the nurse said to her, "What did you do to this little boy? His attitude completely changed after your visit." And she wasn't sure. And she went in, and the little boy said to her, "Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Because I realized that if the school sent somebody to learn about nouns and adverbs, they must think I'm going to live." Everything changed because he had hope realized. Now, we can find a great deal of hope and strength in kind of a determined hope, something to live for. But as followers of Christ, our hope is even stronger because our hope is not based on human expectation. It's based on the promises of God. And so I put up here a definition of hope today. I think it's going to come up. Click. Next slide, please. Hope is this: holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. Holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. Each part of this acronym kind of helps the rest make sense. Holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. Now, if you just do holding on to faith, like, "Hang in there, baby. You can make it. Everything's going to turn out just fine." Kind of like holding on to Hallmark, right? Christmas stories where everything turns out in the end. Yeah, you can hold on, but that's kind of a human holding on to strength. It's not that, if our faith has no object, it will disappear when we are discouraged or when our inner resources give way. It's just ho, 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 ho. And it's hard to hold on to hope when you're not feeling particularly jolly. If you just have holding on to faith pointing, well, I love this 12 steps of AA. They encourage alcoholics to find a higher power that will really help them recover from their addiction. But I've heard of folks who didn't want to embrace God as their higher power or faith as their higher power, but instead they embrace like the doorknob, meaning the doorknob is where I would leave the room to go to the bar, and so that's my higher power, the doorknob. That's not really going to help them. You know, it's not pointing to anything that's actually powerful. That's just hopping. Hope is holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. That's a full hope. And that's what we see in today's scriptures, a solid and secure hope. Isaiah's plea at the very beginning of today's reading, I think, is what we would be saying right now in so many ways. As you look at what's going on in our world, as you look at what's going on around the world and in our country, do you feel this way? "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Lord, come. Would you just come and fix the mess that we find ourselves in?" I certainly feel that way. That, God, why don't you just come and take care of all the problems that we see all around us, the protests, the distress, the confusion, the wars. And the Israelites are praying this. And it's interesting, as you heard read, if you look at this chapter 64 of Isaiah, the Israelites are not innocent. They're not saying, you know, "We're perfect and everybody else has messed up, and so we want you to come down and take care of all the people." Now they're saying, Lord, we know you. We trust you. We believe in you. And come down and show us that you're faithful, that you're just, that you're merciful. So that's hope. They have hope that God will right the wrongs. And they know that you can pick any crisis and you can be all distressed about that. But hope is holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. I don't know if you listen to Christian music much, but I do. I have two stations that I flip back and forth between. There's a song by Cody Carnes called Firm Foundation. That's a really great song for this topic, where he sings, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? And then the refrain is, he won't. He won't. He won't fail. You know, that scripture we read today from Isaiah ends with these words. And I think this is really important for us as God's people, as through faith in Christ, as the Israelites are God's people, we are God's people through Jesus. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are your people. We are your people. The gospel. When God writes the end of the story, it's a really great ending. When God writes the end of the story, it's a really good ending. And he tells us the end of the story today in the gospel of Mark. He tells us first that he's coming again. So the Son of Man will appear, and it's a little confusing. When will he appear? Well, he says, actually, nobody knows. But how you know is that you pay attention to the signs. And he gives the example of a fig tree, that when the leaves come out on the fig tree, you know that summer's coming, and pretty soon the fruit's going to come out. And we see that on our fruit trees around here. That now the oranges that were green are turning orange, and the lemons are starting to ripen, and all those things are ripening. That's the sign. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we know that it's close. And that's what Jesus has encouraged us to do. And what he says is, keep watch. Be awake. Don't fall asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time staying awake sometimes. In the evening, we turn on some television, and I can see myself just kind of like fading off, you know, and, oh, okay, I guess I should just go to bed. I remember in college, I worked as campus safety, and I don't know if the campus was much safer with me around, especially doing the night shift, because my role from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. was to sit at the lower parking lot to make sure no one broke into the cars on the lower parking lot. 4 to 5 a.m., this was my 4 to 5 a.m. shift. And then the radio would ring. Hey, are you doing down there? How are you doing in the lower lot? I'm great. I'm here. Nothing's happening down here. Staying awake when you're so tired is hard. Is that what Jesus means, to stay awake nonstop? I've heard that they've had contests of how to stay awake, Guinness Book of World Records, and it's like 18 days, 20 hours. And they stopped posting the record because it was so detrimental to people's health to stay awake. We can't stay awake nonstop. So what is Jesus saying here about keeping watch? He's saying, live like I'm coming today. Live like I'm coming this hour. Live like you're expecting me. And that turns our hope and our attention right to Christ, that we can hold on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. I love that this year we made a change, thanks Diane, putting the nativity scene here in the front instead of back there in the corner. And it's such a great image of hope. Jesus becoming a man, God becoming a man, Emmanuel, to be with us. He's here in our midst. He's with us. There's so many stories in Scripture of people holding on to hope, holding on to faith. This week we've been studying the account of Hannah in the Old Testament. Hannah was a woman who was infertile, and she was, although the favorite wife of her husband, she was unable to conceive, and she was distraught because for a woman in those days, that was your identity, that you could have children. And she goes to the temple, and she's praying. She's crying out to God, and Eli the priest sees her, mistakenly says, if you've been drinking too much, you should just go away. And she says, no, I'm not. I haven't had anything to drink. I'm just in prayer, crying out to God. And Eli says, well, then whatever you're asking God to do, he will do. She comes back a year later, and she gives thanks because she's holding this little new baby, Samuel. She commits the baby to being servant of God, and he is a mighty prophet, Samuel. But she is holding on to hope. She knows that God is faithful. She knows it. Or like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was the Christian author in Russia, he was placed in a concentration-type work camp, and it was brutal, as he was beaten almost beyond recognition. And at one point, he was so extremely beaten down that he didn't care anymore. He didn't care if the guards would come and beat him. He collapsed on the ground. He was exhausted, and he was thinking to himself, I'd just as soon die. But another prisoner came and drew in the sand right in front of him the sign of the cross. And he looked at that, and that gave him hope. Hope in Emmanuel, knowing that he could overcome this trial. It enabled him to not only survive, but thrive through several additional months of imprisonment. Hope is holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel. And it's wonderful to hear prayers answered. It's wonderful to hear how God is leading us through difficult times. Maybe today, though, that's not where you're at. Maybe you're in the middle of something very difficult, and you're not sure how God is going to turn it out. And these stories can be even painful if you've been wrestling with God because your prayers are not being answered as you hoped they would. But God is faithful. God is going to write the end of your story. And when he writes the end of your story, it's a good ending. Friends, whatever your story is, it's not finished. And we can hold on to hope because God is the one who walks with us through all the good times and all the hard times. So let us pray as we trust in your great love. Lord God, we thank you for hope that's holding on to faith, pointing to Emmanuel, that you are with us. Lord, we see in Scripture over and over and over and over faithful people who, maybe in the midst of their trial, did not know how the end was going to be written. But Lord, they do give us a model of faith and hope and even perseverance in hard times. Lord, if we're one of those who are living in the pain of an unanswered prayer, remind us that you are writing our life story and you're not finished. Help us to trust in your great love. And Lord, help us to believe. Also help us to stay awake, watching, and living today, this moment, like you're returning this moment. So thank you, Jesus, for your great and awesome hope that you give us. In Jesus' name.